This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop.
And as you said, you made that comment a long time ago, but it sounds like you're saying that those character traits that you're discussing about her work as the State Department are the same that led to her staying with her husband?
No, I'm not saying that at all, nor should anybody presume that I'm saying that. We don't need to conflate the two. What I'm saying is when people look at presidential...
But you did that back in 2005.
They have every right.
To get a sense of
they have every right.
Now.
Well, you know, Dana, there are millions of women in this country who made the opposite choice, too, and that's the right my mother certainly did. She was left with a young child at the age of 26 with a high school degree, not a Yale Law School degree, and she certainly wasn't first lady of the country and had to pull herself back up and find a way to support us, and God bless her, she did. So... No, let's not conflate the two, but let's really look at what Americans are seeking in the next president. They want leadership, and leadership is shown by doing things like heading down to Louisiana on Friday, as Trump and Pence did, to actually help people. You don't stop and say, gee, is it a swing state? Gee, should we go? You go where people need help. I thought that Governor Romney should have gone to New Jersey, for example, when we were suffering here after Hurricane Sandy. And so I'm glad that when you want to talk about being presidential or you want to show leadership, leaders show up where people in need are, and they hear them, and they help them. And you saw that on full display on Friday. That's a leader.
Dana Bash and Kellyanne Conway. Great response from Kellyanne. I tell you, when you hear her speak, and how she supports the position, you can understand why Donald Trump, advanced her the way he did and moved her up and made some adjustments. I know there's been some criticism about the changes there in the Trump campaign, that isn't that what leadership does? I mean, if it sees something not working, sees something could be a problem, you do it sooner than later. You cut your losses quick. I mean, after all, when you're in an election cycle, everything is moving at Mach 5 speeds. It's not like you can sit there and, like the rest of the government, say, well, we'll take care of it, you know, a couple of years down the road, maybe the next administration or the next election cycle. No, let's take care of it right away. And Donald Trump's response in terms of showing up in Louisiana for the flood victims, I mean, it's just so devastating. I mean, 40,000 homes, can you imagine the devastation there? And he's represented as opposed to our commander-in-chief playing golf. I mean, it doesn't look good. Again, the double standard of the media, you know, things turned around and they try to give him cover and say, well, you know, if he goes there, it's going to cause too much attention. Well, that's the point. You have the president of the United States, just like you do with Donald Trump. It did create some attention. But with the president, even more so, because as the president of the United States, you're there, and guess what? Everybody comes together. And did Donald Trump's visit there in Louisiana, did it help out? Did it cause some attention? Did it get, you know, some more groups involved, churches, other interest groups to do what they can? You know, I think so. I think it was very, very positive. Who was it, Scott? An actress that, boy, she got in, you know, got in a little bit of a trouble here. And why does her name escape me right now? Oh, gosh, we love her so much. And anyway, she was tweeting that, you know, where's Obama on all this? And, you know, of course, you know, Kirstie Alley is who I'm talking about. And, you know, she came down on the president for golfing instead of visiting Louisiana after the flood disaster. She jumped on Twitter on Friday, shared a video of Obama from 2008 when he was criticizing President George Bush for flying over New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina in 2005. I mean, you know, this is the nature that, you know, when you're a president, it doesn't matter what you do. It's just never enough. And, of course, you add to the lens a election cycle, and, man, it really tightens up and the pressure really comes down. So Obama's getting a little bit of the, I guess, just desserts that he served out on one George W. Bush. But you would think, you know, that he would have been a little, if not a lot more sensitive about what's going on in Louisiana, because it's an absolute disaster. But, you know, for Donald Trump, made him look like a hero. Where's Hillary Clinton? She's not there either. But Donald Trump, he was there. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez. We're live.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-725-2487. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-725-2487. 1-800-725-2487.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
If it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be because the bottom-up movement has finally come together in a way that can push back on the elites pushing down on us, saying, look, you're so fortunate to have us here. If you didn't have us, you guys would really be a mess. This is why you have to pay us extra and give us extra bonuses and allow us to steal from you, because we're just so brilliant and you're so dumb. Doesn't that seem to be the case? Well, as they say, I think Ronald Reagan was quoted, John Adams as well, facts are stubborn things. The truth really does matter here. This is why we pursue it no matter where it leads. And to this end, Dr. John Lott, his latest book is called The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against the Gun Control Lies. He talks about Chicago having some of the strictest gun restrictions in the U.S., but Chicago's murder rate has been soaring. 72% in 2016 so far. Shootings are up more than 88%. Those facts, they are stubborn things, Dr. Lott, but they are the facts, aren't they?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you letting me talk about the book. I mean, Chicago's a lot more complicated in the sense that they've had a lot of bad policing policies. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, when he became mayor, cut the size of the police force, moved detectives from high-crime areas to low-crime areas, gutted a lot of the gang units that they had there. And so, to me, it's not particularly surprising that you see an increase in gang violence and other types of crimes there in the city. You know, the big thing that I try to point out in the war on guns is that that fits in with what you were just talking about a minute ago about kind of the elite, and that is how so many of these gun control laws make it costly for law-abiding citizens to be able to own guns. So that's primarily the people that are affected. In particular, it's poor people, particularly poor minorities that are disarmed as a result of these types of laws. You know, whether it's the fees that they go and impose, or the way that they actually run the background check system, you know, it's primarily the most vulnerable people in our society who are prevented from being able to go and buy guns.
And so what do they do?
Well, you know, they become either victims of crime or they go and illegally obtain guns. But, you know, just take a simple example, something that would seem innocuous enough, and that is the background checks on private transfers that the president keeps on wanting to push. You know, just a week and a half ago or so, Hillary Clinton was out there claiming that 2.4 million dangerous prohibited people have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. That's simply a lie. What she should say is that there have been 2.4 million initial denials, and that virtually all of those, about 95%, 90, 99% of those are what we call false positives, that you had a law-abiding person who wanted to buy a gun but was stopped simply because they had a name similar to somebody that the government wanted to stop. You know, it's one thing to stop a felon from buying a gun. It's another thing to have virtually everybody that you stop be a law-abiding citizen who simply had a name similar to a felon. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the way the system works is extremely racist because people tend to have names similar to others within their racial group. Mm-hmm. Hispanics have names similar to other Hispanics. Blacks have names similar to other blacks. 30% of black males in the United States are legally forbidden from owning a gun because of past criminal history. Who are they most likely to have names similar to? Law-abiding black males who want to go and be able to buy a gun to protect themselves or their family. Hispanics are the next highest group in terms of having these types of false positives. But the problem is even worse than that, because at least under the Clinton and Bush administrations, the government eventually, it may take a year or so, but would eventually get around to double-checking and realizing that they had made a mistake, that they had gotten the wrong person. The problem now is that President Obama has removed every last person who used to do that double-checking. There's nobody who does that now.
Oh, wow.
And so you can go and appeal, but it's a complicated process. Most people will need to hire a lawyer to go and fill out the forms properly and provide all the documentation. The problem is that costs thousands of dollars. Who do they think can afford to pay thousands of dollars if they accidentally get stopped from buying a gun because of a mistake by the government?
Right. And so what are they doing? You know, they're forcing them to go underground and purchase a gun illegally, aren't they? I mean, in some cases where people feel so threatened.
Well, the most law-abiding citizens will not break the law, and they'll be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be the ones who will be most likely to be victims of violent crime. I mean, the problem is that it's the very people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas or poor Hispanics who live in those areas, who are going to be priced out of owning a gun. Even that's just part of the problem. There's so many other costs that they try to impose on people. So, for example, when President Obama talks about these expanded background checks from Washington, D.C., it'd be nice if he would note that in Washington, D.C., that process adds $125 onto the cost of obtaining a gun. Now, that may not stop the president if he ever wanted to buy a gun, or you or me from being able to go and buy a gun. Again, the very people who need guns the most for self-protection will be the ones who are priced out of being able to legally own a gun. It's not like the gangs are going to pay this $125 fee to have a gun transferred to them.
Exactly.
It's going to be the law-abiding citizens who obey the rules who are going to run into that.
Well, and that's what you're pointing out, John, here, is that what the government has done with their regulations is they have you know, in a way, have made us more vulnerable by making it so difficult, as you say, for the poor people. I mean, it goes back a little bit to what Dinesh D'Souza pointed out in his movie, Hillary's America. It's the government keeping, you know, poor people on the plantation in modern day America. And this is just another way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wish the movie had spent a little bit of time talking about kind of the current situations on guns and things like that, rather than just focusing on the historical stuff. I mean, the historical stuff is nice.
Right.
But, you know, for most people, it's kind of the current laws that are going to make the difference for individuals. And, you know, there's so many of these regulations that are going to have an impact when, you know, Hillary Clinton wants to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court who's going to reverse the Heller and McDonald decision. The Heller decision was the one that struck down D.C.'s ban on guns. It's outright banned handguns, but it effectively banned long guns and shotguns being used in self-defense because that law made it a felony, even though you could right. own a long gun. If you actually exactly. put a bullet in the chamber of a gun...
John, we got to go to break. Dr. John Lott is with us. More from him right after this.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
This is a health care alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hillary Clinton followed the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, and all the rest is total politics. They should just back off. because she did everything right. The letter, the spirit of the law.
None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system. But their presence is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on unclassified personal servers, not even supported by full-time security staff like those found at agencies and departments of the United States government, or even with a commercial email service like Gmail. But even if information is not marked classified in an email, participants who know or should know that the subject matter is classified are still obligated to protect it.
Looking back, it would have been better for me to use two separate phones and two email accounts. I thought using one device would be simpler, and obviously it hasn't worked out that way.
You know, the truth matters. It always has mattered. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. This is one of the reasons why America is on the wrong track and why we're thankful for people like Dr. John Lott, who can take a particular subject like the war on guns and present the truth of the matter, cipher through all the emotions and all the things that, you know, those that want to eliminate our Second Amendment right are purporting upon us, just as John had mentioned earlier regarding the background check myths. And, of course, in his book, he goes into more detail about that. John, you also talk about the police shootings and what's been going on with inner city crime rates. What's being either ignored or misreported there in this area that you report in your book?
Well, I mean, there are lots of issues that are here. I mean, I suppose the bottom line is that to the extent to which police find their job being more difficult, it's going to be, again, these most vulnerable people in our society, the law-abiding Black and Hispanic citizens who live in these high-crime urban areas, who are going to be paying the price as a result of this. But, I mean, there's lots of issues in terms of police being able to have protection. You know, the Democrats often talk about militarization of police, but we're primarily talking about body armor and other types of things that protect police that make them more willing to go into dangerous areas to go and protect other people. You know, when you're talking about these racism claims that the Obama administration is constantly putting out with regard to police, it's really disappointing because the Obama administration, whenever they find a difference, they automatically assert that it's due to racism. Mm-hmm. But often there are very simple explanations that can occur. You look at something like the Ferguson Police Department report that the Obama administration put out saying that in Ferguson, two-thirds of the population is Black, but 76% of the people who are stopped for traffic stops are Black. So they said, well, that is proof of racism. What would be nice if they mentioned is that there are seven towns that border Ferguson on all of its sides that completely surround it, and the average Black population for those towns is 91%.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, just looking at Ferguson's population, I mean, people from these neighboring towns that completely surround it drive through Ferguson. And just to go and compare only Ferguson's population and their claim it's racism just doesn't make a lot of sense. It gets people angry. It gets people to feel that there's real injustice, even when there is no injustice that's occurring. So, but, you know, with regard to guns, you know, there are these studies funded by Bloomberg, for example. I mean, people don't realize the hundreds of millions of dollars that people like Michael Bloomberg and George Soros are funding now to go and produce research that supports their positions on things like guns. You know, they go and have studies that claim that increased gun ownership puts police lives at danger. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, they're just simple mistakes that I point out that they make in their research that actually, if you correct those, shows that the opposite's true, that when more law-abiding citizens have guns, you actually see it so the criminals are less likely to have guns themselves, and that police are also safer as a result of that. I mean, there's a reason why the vast majority of police in the United States support guns probably more strongly, private ownership of guns more strongly than any other group in this country. You look at the Fraternal Order of Police. This is the first time that a major party candidate hasn't applied for an endorsement from the Fraternal Order of Police. Hillary Clinton's the first one. And when you read the questions that they have there, you understand why she's not even trying. It's not just issues about protecting police, but if you look at gun ownership, the Fraternal Order of Police want the presidential candidates to pledge that they understand that gun control does not reduce crime.
Right.
So the problem is actually the opposite. When you go and you disarm the law-abiding good citizens in these high-crime neighborhoods, you actually embolden the criminals to go and attack. You actually make it easier for them to go and commit crime. So it has the exact opposite. So, you know, so this last week when Donald Trump has been talking about whether his policies are going to help poor blacks more than Hillary Clinton's, you know, a lot of the war on guns directly fits into that, providing the type of evidence to support the types of concerns that he raised.
Well, if you're going to go in with a prejudiced view to begin with, then the results are going to be altered. I mean, they're looking to, you know, to your point here, John, they're looking to buttress up their argument. But, you know, if anybody has any understanding of the facts, but you know, as long as they keep it in the emotional realm, you know, it blocks out any conversation for reason and facts. And that's where we get back to the you know, the initial statement by John Adams and Ronald Reagan, that facts are stubborn things. I mean, they really just stick out there and you go, well, wait a minute. How can you argue against the empirical evidence? You're trying to say just the opposite here, right?
Sure. Well, you know, Bloomberg's a smart guy. I mean, he's worth $46 billion. You know, you look during the last election cycle for federal offices, he made campaign donations of almost $29 million compared to the NRA, mm-hmm. which spent about $900,000. But that's only a small part of the difference there. I mean, the NRA, even if it wanted to, it wouldn't make any sense for them to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on funding research, because if they funded research, the media would completely ignore anything
exactly.
that they had done.
Right.
And yet when Bloomberg funds one of these studies, they get like thousands of positive news stories within a week or two after their release. But even that's not all Bloomberg does. He goes out and go through in the book and show that if you look, he's working with Columbia University's journalism school, where he's funded a program that goes and teaches reporters from around the country how to, in his world, properly cover the gun issue. Could you imagine Columbia University working out a program with the NRA?
The
journalism school would be teaching people how to properly cover the gun issue as where the NRA thinks that they should cover it?
Well, you know, this is what's happening in our world here, John, whether it's the war on guns, the war on climate. You know, all these things. I mean, the left progressives have, Katie, bar the door. You know, let it go. It doesn't matter. John, one final question here. We got about 30 seconds left. How the U.S. compares to other countries in terms of shootings? Very quickly.
Yeah, I have detailed chapters on this. Either in terms of murder rates or especially in terms of mass public shootings, the United States is not unique. Even Europe is worse in terms of casualties from mass public shootings than the United States. But just one last sentence. The reason why I wrote this book was to give people the accurate facts to deal with in this election so they can not only educate themselves but their friends, because this is an extremely important issue this time.
Without a doubt, Dr. John Lott, his book, War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available at all the usual places. Thank you, John. It's 29 after the top of the hour.
Experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite, like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy, they mean something. Bill Martinez live.
You know, history is so important. That really does mean something, ladies and gentlemen. If we let go of our history, as it's been said by communists, that he who controls history controls the future. Stephen Backhouse is with us, lecturer in social and political theology at St. Miletus College in London. He's published a number of critically well-received books and articles on religion, history, and Kierkegaard, from the popular compact guide to Christian history to the academic Kierkegaard's critique of Christian nationalism. Stephen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, pleasure to have you here to talk about an unknown story of Søren Kierkegaard, 19th century Danish philosopher and rabble-rouser.
That seems to be the best way to describe him, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kierkegaard, has been said, like Einstein and Freud, is one of those geniuses whose ideas permeate the culture and shape our world, even when relatively few people have read their works. The lack of familiarity with the real Kierkegaard is about to change. Thank you very much for your book, by the way. And, you know, it is Kierkegaard is almost like, you know, an artist who does a painting and he becomes greater and more genius-like after his passing.
That's actually a good way of describing him. Yeah, he's one of these guys that kind of stands on both sides of any argument. So he's inspired lots of sort of atheists and secularists, but he's also basically one of the most prolific and passionate Christian thinkers that has been alive for the last 300 years or so. So he really kind of straddles both sides of the divide, as it were.
And, it seems to me that he asked a lot of questions. He wasn't satisfied with the status quo. He just kept asking questions. Kind of remind me bit of Martin Luther in that sense.
Well, I mean, Kierkegaard was a Lutheran. He lived in Danish Lutheran Christendom. And he was he took the idea of being authentic very seriously. So he looked around and he said, is just being born into a Christian culture the same as being a Christian? Is just being a member of a group or a tribe, is that good enough? Or should I have to kind of walk the talk, and own it for myself? And so a lot of the language, I mean, if you think that's important now, you probably got that from Kierkegaard. He really gave us the language for authenticity and practice what you preach and that kind of stuff. So he's somebody who took that very seriously of how to become a Christian within Christendom.
Mm-hmm. Well, the people that he influenced, as you mentioned, Bonhoeffer and Kafka, Barth. Yeah. I mean, I love Barth as much as he believed that you should go to the pulpit with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, right? And all influenced by Kierkegaard, which I appreciate so much.
Yeah, Kierkegaard sort of said, you need to become sober. We get intoxicated. Christendom gets intoxicated. And he thought the best way to sort of stop being drunk on your own culture is to read the New Testament. Become sober and read the New Testament.
Well, I would think that he would also say, tell your story. But tell your story in a way that's not boring. As you say, that you have buy-in, you own it, and it is your story, one that is not duplicated. It is unique in as much as you being a unique individual, right?
Well, yeah, he thought you, Bill, were more important than any group you're a part of or any religion or any nationality you have. He just thought you are, as a person, exist in the eye of God. And he was trying to find a way to kind of give us a language for individual existence that didn't make reference to all the other kind of group think that we might be a part of. He called it the herd. Herd was a temptation away from becoming a real person. So, yeah, that's why we call him the father of existentialism, because he paid attention to your existence.
Right. Well, you speak of that herd mentality and momentum definitely running rampant. And not only in the United States, but I would say in the world, it's had a significant influence, right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens on all left and right and conservative and liberal. Like wherever you find a group of people that kind of think that whatever they believe is more true just because the group they're a part of is bigger, then you run into a problem. Because Kierkegaard said, what is it about the incarnation? I mean, the incarnation was just as hard to believe a second after it happened than 2,000 years after it happened. What is it about the passage of time that makes it easier? And Jesus is Lord whether one person says it or a million people say it. He's still Lord. So the truth of this fact isn't really affected by who actually believes in it or not. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to get us away from thinking that we make Christianity more true by having more Christians.
As you point out,
I didn't like him very much.
Well, that's what I was going to say. As you point out, he was a divisive figure in his own lifetime. When you bring the truth, I mean, you can often be misunderstood, can't you?
Well, there was a riot at his funeral. I mean, when he ended his life by basically kind of calling out all the great and the good of his society, and he's saying, look, you public leaders, you use the language of Christianity, but you don't. You're not actually Christian. You've equated being a Christian with being a good citizen. Mm-hmm. And he had this great big kind of fight with the public leaders of his day. And when he died in the middle of this fight, the church, the official church, tried to bury him in the church. Mm-hmm. And all of his supporters, of course, they stormed the funeral. And they said, this is ridiculous. He should never be buried in a church. He was against everything that you guys stand for. And, of course, lots of people in the church also said he should never be buried in the church. He stood against everything we stand for. So I can't imagine a philosopher today having a riot at his funeral, but there you go. Maybe it was a more enlightened time then. I don't know.
Well, leave it to Kierkegaard, no doubt about it. I'm sure this was all part of and parcel. I mean, you know, to the point that you couldn't take him. I mean, if he took himself so seriously, I mean, he was serious about what he was addressing. But I don't think he was introspectively serious, was he? I mean, overly
He took things lightly in a way. I mean, he was really into irony. He thought, and by that I didn't mean being cynical. He just meant, you know, he says very famously, before God we are always in the wrong. And he didn't mean by that, like, you're a cringing worm. He just meant, you know, whatever opinion you take, you're probably wrong somewhere along the line. And it's best not to, you know, put your whole identity into your position, because you probably are going to make a mistake somewhere down the line. So he, whatever he did, he always kind of remembered, oh, before God, I'm always in the wrong. He tried not to let his opinions and his argument get in the way of loving real people in front of him. So he, even though he wrote quite angrily against various movements, cultural movements of his day, he never stopped actually trying to pay attention to the real human beings in front of him. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it does, and it also, you know, you address that in terms of his introspection. I mean, he was a journaler. I mean, he kept journals for 20 years.
Oh, he wrote. Yeah. He probably wrote more journals. Yeah, journals than he wrote published books. Thousands of pages. He never stopped writing. I think he was a little bit. We don't want to use the word mentally ill, but he had a compulsion. He had to write all the time. And he had a bad back, so he had a special desk made for him that he could stand up. And so he would stand up at his desk, and he would write all night. Mm. He just had to write all his thoughts down. Yeah, and he wrote all these journals, which nobody got to see until well after he died. I mean, he'd already been dead for about 50 years before people started reading his journals, so they had no idea what was going on in his rich inner life.
Well, and it went beyond, you know, the religious and spiritual. I mean, you wonder, with somebody as busy as he was, did he have time for romance?
Well, sadly and interestingly, he was engaged to be married, but he broke it off with the young girl. Her name was Regine, and he sort of realized that his life was going to be a bit too serious and maybe a little bit too... he thought of himself as a bit of a curse on her. He didn't want to curse her by bringing her into his life, because he knew he was bound to be kind of a clash with common sense and with the sort of Christendom of his day. So he engineered a way to break up with her so that it wouldn't bring shame on her. He kind of made himself out to be a bit of a jerk.
Wow.
And he went through this charade of being a public jerk.
Well, Stephen, we're out of time. I'm sorry we could go on. I really appreciate the book. We love the stories of Soren Kierkegaard, and thank you for bringing it to us.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This report is brought to you by Staples. The back-to-school season can be stressful for parents and students alike. As the end of the summer approaches, many retailers are already stocking holiday candy and decor, making it difficult to find school supplies. Parents can rely on Staples to have the school supplies their children need in stock throughout the back-to-school season, at the lowest prices guaranteed. Christine Mallon, Vice President of Retail Marketing at Staples, joins us to share some back-to-school advice.
As the start of school approaches, many retailers have moved on and started stocking for the next holiday. At Staples, parents can shop confidently, knowing that we're still in stock on all of the back-to-school essentials they need at the lowest prices guaranteed.
Staples keeps school essentials in stock all season long at the lowest prices. Shop the Less List for School, weekly school steals, and take advantage of the 110% lowest price guarantee to stay on budget. For more, visit staples.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Do you know that good digestion is your body's first line of defense? Millions of Americans suffer from poor digestion. It shows up in the form of heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, and many other symptoms. Healthy digestion relies on armies of friendly bacteria. These good bugs keep bad bugs in check. Probimune, a new, uniquely developed probiotic, is scientifically proven to get to your gut and deliver the benefits of improved digestion. Probimune is an immune system booster and a digestive health enhancer. It's simple to use, and most importantly, you will feel Probimune working, soothing, and relaxing the gut. Get yours today by visiting younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Again, that's 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off your first order.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Bill Martinez. It's Bill Martinez live.
I just wanted to see how long you'd wait. Hey, it's Bill Martinez here. How you doing? Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information is right there. Bob Walaszewski, who's normally on with us this time of the week, in fact, on Mondays, I guess he's lost in Liberia. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Although he wouldn't say he's lost, I mean...
Well, you know, he knows where he is, but...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he's wherever Bob Walaszewski needs to be. So we're going to talk movies. Scott and I are going to talk a little bit about what happened at the box office this weekend. By the way, I want to remind you, before we get too far down the road here, that we've got all kinds of good stuff to give away for Ben-Hur. In fact, I just found out we have even tickets to get. How would you like free tickets, huh? If you didn't get to catch the movie this weekend... All you got to do, send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Get on it right away, and I'll send you a pair of tickets, okay? And also, we've got a soundtrack. We got a book to give away as well. So, hey, real simple. Just send me an email. Make sure you include your address, all that good stuff. And so we know who to send it to and get it in the right location. So I appreciate you sending me an email. That's simple, bill@billmartinezlive.com. And why not take advantage of a free movie? You said you haven't been to the movies for a while. What is it? The popcorn got to you? You just didn't want to be around the popcorn anymore? I mean, you had it with that?
Yeah, just not anything that I really wanted to see.
Yeah. Well, okay, all right. Well, why not? You know, I understand. Hey, number one, this weekend, already up to... $262 million. I mean, that's a lot of money here. You know, and I got to imagine the government sees what these movie houses are pulling down and going, man, that's a lot of money. How do we get our hands on that stuff? Suicide Squad, number one. Sausage Party, number two, with a total of $65 million in the house. They did something like $15 million last weekend.
Which is not a kid's movie.
No.
It's animated, but it's not a kid's movie.
Yeah, you know, you just wonder about some of these things. You know, they go, okay, well, let's do this little animation thing. And you think, oh, well, it's going to be kids. And then you, all of a sudden you start, you know, listening to the dialogue. You go, well, not really. So it scored number two over the weekend. Number three was War Dogs from Warner Brothers. $14 million it did. And so that was their first time out. So three, four, five were all new movies last weekend. It was Suicide Squad. I guess it was that, the third or fourth week that they've been holding down the number one position. But number four was Kubo and the Two Strings. And then five, Ben-Hur. As we mentioned, Mark Burnett and Roma Downey have done a great job on Ben-Hur. I just have been able to see, you know, the trailers and some other promotional cuts that they have sent my way. You know, here in Kauai, it's hard to, you know, you're not getting a lot of... you know, heavy access to movie. I think there's two theaters, and not the best movie offerings there. Let me see here. What did they have? They didn't even have War Dogs. They had Jason Bourne last week, and I thought, well, let me see. And by the time I went to go see that, that was gone, unavailable. So it's you know, hey, it's Hawaii. You know, it'll be here in a couple weeks. I mean, you know, I'm not sure if Redbox will beat out the local movie houses in terms of being able to see the movie. But as I said, Ben-Hur, I think the production values, the cinematography is just outstanding. Wow. You know, you take a remake, Scott, like, you know, Ben-Hur, which was, what, 1959 when it was way before you were born, 1959, and you bring it up to date, and... you know, there's a lot to be argued about the technology and having the ability to, you know, to make this work and redo a lot of these, you know, a lot of these movies that were, you know, big before. Let's bring them back one more time with the, you know, with the new technology and the new budgets, right?
Yeah. I've been really disappointed with movies. They're all remakes. So it still bothers me.
It's nothing new under the sun. Yeah, it's kind of like music, you know, for the most part. You know, you get some song and, hey, let's turn it into rap or whatever, have a remake of it. And, you know, it just keeps on running the cycle. And they figure, hey, why not? If it worked the first time and if you can get away with it, you know, bring it back.
Yeah, and it's always, I mean, obviously with the updated computer technology and things like that, they can make things look cooler. But I wish they'd come up with some original stories. That'd be nice. I'd probably go back to the movies rather than wait until everything comes out on video before seeing it.
And maybe go back to, you know, some of, you know, the, like you say, the original stories, sans the language and, you know, suggestive stuff that somehow, you know, these producers and movie houses just feel so compelled to reduce things down to their lowest common denominator and not respect viewers to... appreciate the art. You know, it's kind of like, you know, James Hurston and I have talked about, and I think you and I have talked about as well, is that when you panic, when artists panic, that's when they get goofy. You know, the music turns up, you bring in reverb, you bring in all this distortion to cover the mistakes. You know, if you're pure and you can hit the notes, you don't need that stuff, I found. I mean, you know, and just in a very simplistic sort of way, I mean, I appreciate that you have distortion and you have some of those things there, and there are gifted musicians and artists that can use those kind of elements very effectively, but some just use it just, I think, many times to hide their inability. What do you think?
Yeah, sometimes it feels very gimmicky. And that's when you run into the problems. I will say that I did tell my 10-year-old that I'd take him to Kubo and the Two Strings. So I did tell him I'd take him to go see that. So I will be seeing that at some point.
you don't want to take him to some kind of weekend marathon and go see Pete's Dragon and Secret Life of Pets or anything?
Yeah, I'm not going to commit to that.
You, his mom
would do that, but I will not.
You know, you want to go? I mean, because I've been wanting to go see Secret Life of Pets. I tried to get my granddaughter, who normally goes with me, and we just couldn't quite work out a date night. So maybe when I'm, heading back to California from Hawaii, I can stop in and we can have a date night to go see Secret Life of Pets. But I think she told me she already saw it. So granddad already saw it.
Yeah, he went with his mom to that one. So Kubo was one that he wants to go see with dad. So I'll take him to see that. So
hey, why not?
And
why
not? He didn't like Secret Life of Pets.
He didn't?
He said it was boring. He said it wasn't as funny as he thought it would be. So,
well, you know, it's amazing sometimes what the kids, what they like and what grabs their attention. And sometimes it's just the opposite of what we expect sometimes, which to me, I mean, I like to take my granddaughter or any of the grandkids, the younger ones, out to go see it, just to observe their reaction, you know? It's like, you take them to Disneyland not because of Disneyland. You just take them because you want to appreciate their perspective.
Yeah, he always shocks me on the stuff that he likes. He has movies that he calls them mom movies and dad movies. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're already
dad movies.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah, like going to see Superman, that was a dad movie. Yeah, he had to go with dad to that, or Transformers and stuff like that. The Batman versus Superman one, I was a little worried about that. I thought it was a little bit too. I didn't think he'd enjoy it. And I thought it would be a little bit too grown up, too over his head. But I think he understood the movie better than I did. So I don't know if that's a problem.
Well, it just gives you something to talk about. And sometimes when you're talking with a 10-year-old, you get a little dry and you wonder, you go, okay, what can we talk about? And, the fact that there is that difference. And to me, that's the cool thing. When you start to get their perspective. I've been having fun with young kids, too, just even trying to get their impression, what's happening with the political landscape without getting them into too much heavy stuff. But it's kind of interesting. I got to tell you, some of these 10-year-olds, Scott, they're a lot smarter than these guys that are graduating from Harvard and Yale that Jesse Waters will interview there, in the Ivy League colleges. I mean, the things that they will say are just so honest and genuine, kind of like what we were talking about just a moment ago with Stephen Backhouse, is that with Kierkegaard saying that, we get this pack mentality, and and next thing you know, our whole persona is kind of enmeshed into that pack. It's like we lose our identity as a result of our identifying with this pack group. But, kids at 10 years old, they're still young enough. They're not quite, identified. Although some of that happens. But, there's still some disconnection, and they still can tell their story. There's a saying in Spanish, and I'll give you the English translation, and that is that drunks and children tell no lies. They're very honest and genuine. So, it's always, I find, interesting to talk to young kids, particularly the kind of insight that they will give you. But even drunk sometimes will give you some wisdom as well. You may not be able to understand it totally, but if you can work through it, even they toss out a gem once in a while. It's all good fun. This is Bill Martinez. Hey, don't forget to send me that email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Get in the running for the Ben-Hur tickets, okay? Also, we have a soundtrack and we have the book of the movie as well. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. It's just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world,
One Life. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of One Life. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.